8. We target oil companies. Frank Sproul, the ExxonMobil vice president in charge of safety and environmental issues at the corporation after 2000, was a trim, athletic man who stood about 6 feet 1 inch tall. He had worked at Exxon since the 1960s. As he reached the corporation's executive ranks, he wrote and oversaw its rigorous post-Valdez safety rules. He was also, in his private life, a thrill-seeker. In off hours and on weekends and vacation days, Sproul sometimes went hang gliding. He tried extreme skiing. He raced motorcycles. He raced midget sports cars at Soldier Field in Chicago. He flew stunt helicopters and went parachuting. One of his friends owned a stunt plane, a mini Messerschmitt, and on the weekends the two of them occasionally went for a ride. They would fly straight up, cut the engine, and dive. To manage his hobbies, while carrying out his professional role as the chief enforcer of ExxonMobil safety codes so pervasive that they encouraged employees to confess paper cuts, Sproul mainly chose to keep his off-campus activities to himself. At one stage, he developed a particular passion for bicycle racing. He competed in Europe and the United States. Racing proved hazardous, however. He was hospitalized a number of times after accidents. One day, Sproul was lying in a Princeton, New Jersey hospital bed, nursing a broken collarbone, when the telephone rang. An ExxonMobil colleague who was visiting him, and who was aware of his friend's private passions, answered the call. It was Lee Raymond. Sproul shuddered a little and took the receiver. "You're probably thinking that I'm calling to ask how you're doing and to wish you a speedy recovery," Raymond said. "The reason I'm calling you is to tell you that this is your last injury as an employee of Exxon. Do you understand that?" "Yes, I understand," Sproul managed. Raymond hung up. Sproul gave up bike racing and entered triathlons. He managed to avoid additional injuries, at least of the type that led to missed work days and unfavorable safety statistics. He did not slow down much, however. He typically started his days by running 10 or 12 miles. After the Mobil merger, despite a general awareness of Sproul's habits, Raymond appointed him to run safety, health, and environment for the worldwide corporation. Sproul had shown that he could deliver measurable improvements in ExxonMobil's safety and operational performance. Alongside Raymond, Sproul proselytized the belief that zero accidents and defects was achievable, and that a fanatical devotion to safety in complex operational units such as refineries could lead to greater profits, because the discipline required to achieve exceptional safety goals would also lead to greater discipline in cost controls and operations. Sproul had studied chemical engineering and physics at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and he earned a doctoral degree in chemical engineering at the University of California at Berkeley. His advanced knowledge of chemistry gave him special credibility with Raymond, a fellow doctoral degree holder in the field. So too did Sproul's ability, in a succession of management assignments, to break through Exxon's habitual bureaucratic resistance to change. Even so, along with many other managers, he occasionally suffered Raymond's withering scorn. "He's a pretty brusque guy," Sproul conceded. "That's probably an understatement. I have been cursed at by him a few times, and perhaps demeaned. There were a few times when I came home and told my lovely wife, 'This is probably going to end soon.'" After taking charge of worldwide safety and environmental matters at ExxonMobil, Sproul became interested in dangerous game hunting, a hobby at least a little more in keeping with the masculine corporate culture. Sproul sought more challenging landscapes than ExxonMobil's sprawling Texas hunting ranch. He traveled to Africa periodically to shoot lions and rhinos. This bolstered his resolve when facing down Raymond. Sproul served as one of Raymond's key lieutenants on climate change matters. Ken Cohen and his public affairs shop, in tandem with the K Street office in Washington, oversaw contributions to free market advocates who published, spoke out, and filed lawsuits to challenge policies designed to reduce greenhouse gas emissions or assess the long-term impact of global warming. On the ExxonMobil organization chart, however, climate policy fell within safety, health, and environment because it was, like oil spills or air pollution, an environmental issue that required worldwide corporate edicts and continuous management attention. Sproul was among those, like Raymond, who believed that some of the environmental groups, with relatively little science behind it, at least in the early days, had rallied way over to the side that we just need to flat move away from fossil fuels. He agreed with Raymond that poorer governments should be very cautious about the economic damage they might do to their struggling populations if they move to tax or limit carbon-based energy sources too quickly or severely. By 2002, however, it had become apparent to Sproul and other senior executives that ExxonMobil had, at a minimum, a communications problem surrounding its climate policy advocacy. The corporation was being vilified, and it seemed, at the same time, to be undertaking no constructive activities to address or even acknowledge the risks climate change might pose. Early in 2002, the Bush administration had developed a strategy for fending off critics of its own. The administration pledged to invest in scientific research while resisting any legislation or treaty that would tax or limit carbon-based energy. Around the same time, Sproul pitched Raymond on a similar positioning for ExxonMobil. "Okay, we cannot prove that climate change is being driven by man-made activities," Sproul said. "Also, even if the burning of coal and gasoline was warming the planet, there were no cost-effective steps that would ease the problem, at least not steps that are available now." Thus far, he was in lockstep with Raymond's views. "The science of climate change might contain significant uncertainties," he continued. "Yet the uncertainties also cut in the other direction. It was at least possible that global warming was indeed underway and that it could create large disruptions in the future." Sproul put a question to Raymond. "Is it not the case that the risk of climate change is high enough that responsible efforts to mitigate risk would be worthwhile?" Raymond did not denounce him as an idiot, which was a start. The two of them, other senior ExxonMobil executives and members of the corporation's board of directors who oversaw environmental and public policy, talked about that a long time. They decided during 2002 that ExxonMobil should invest in research that might bring breakthrough clean energy technologies forward without altering the corporation's opposition to greenhouse gas regulation, a policy evolution that exactly mirrored the Bush administration's approach.